Yes. Well, good morning. Yesterday at a party, Ben did make a statement. We had a bit of a roasting session. Few of Ben's friends roasted Ben, the roast of Ben Patterson, or like I like to say, Lisa's husband. And then Ben got to roast us back, and one of the comments he made to me was, he dresses like Melbourne but walks like Proserpine. But Pastor Rob had a better one this morning. He goes, it's okay, mate, because he dresses like Proserpine and walks like Mount Isa. So, I'm okay with that. Love you, Ben, and appreciate you. And who here loves Ben Patterson? Come on. So good. Who here loves Jesus? Jeez, that was a close match, Ben. I hope after I preach, I turn the tides this morning. Well, morning church. Have you heard the? Did you hear the miracle, the hearing miracle? Did you hear? I think I've told you the story about the hearing miracle before. It goes like this: there's a man named Sam, and Sam showed up to a revival meeting seeking help. He said to the preacher, "I need you to pray for my hearing." And the preacher puts his fingers in Sam's ear and prays and spoke in tongues and boldly proclaimed God's miracle-working power. And when he was done, he said, how's your hearing now? And Sam responded, I don't know. I don't go to court till next Tuesday. This morning, I want to talk about sharp and effective prayers. Turn to your neighbor and say, boy, you're looking sharp this morning. Sharp and effective prayers. I want to encourage you, start of a new year, who believes and wants God to speak to them this year and give them some direction throughout the year. Well, let me teach you something. In order to be a good steward of God's word and in order for him to continue to speak, we need to actually honor the words he is speaking in the moment to us. So I want to encourage you, if God speaks to you throughout any sermon this year, throughout your time reading the Bible, throughout listening to a message, maybe watching the live stream online, to write down notes of what God is speaking to you. That is being a good steward of God's word. And when you do that, when you're faithful with little, God will trust you with much. Okay, so I want to encourage you, take notes this morning. We're going to be looking in James chapter 5 later in the message, James chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, you can turn with me there. Otherwise, let us pray this morning. Well, God, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word gives life and there is power to be found in the word of God. I pray this morning, Lord, that as we preach and read the scriptures and learn more about you, Lord, that you would demolish and uproot lies of the enemy that have plagued our hearts and our minds, Lord, and anything we believe about ourselves that is not true, and anything we might be believing about you that is not true, God, I pray you'd deal with it this morning, that, Lord, you would transform us into your image, that we would walk like you, talk like you, and be able to pray sharp and effective prayers. And if you agree with me this morning, why don't you say amen? Amen, amen, amen. How many people here realize that prayer is not just asking God for stuff? Raise your hand if you believe that this morning. Great, it's a good start. That asking God for stuff is almost what I would see as baby level prayer. Just asking God for stuff. Now that's okay, baby level prayer is okay. God loves it. Jesus encouraged us to have childlike faith. So baby level prayer is okay. But if there is more, who wants more? If there is more, I want more. And there are layers to prayer. And asking God for stuff is just scratching the surface of what we call prayer. The simple yet most beautiful element of prayer is bringing our whole being into communion with God. This is what Jesus paid the price for, communion with God. God, to be come into agreement, into relationship, into union. The most beautiful and pinnacle of prayer is to bring our body, our mind, will, and emotions in union with God and his presence. Prayer is many things. Prayer can be simply union with God, but prayer can also be described as practicing an awareness of the presence of God throughout our everyday life. It could be at work while you're typing up emails or in a meeting, just taking a moment to breathe and practice an awareness of the presence of God. That can be prayer. But prayer can also be declaration. Declaration of God's word and God's will over our lives. Prayer can also be moving mountains. Prayer can also be prophesying to things that are not as though they are, like prophesying to dry bones and commanding them to come alive. Prayer can be many different things. There are layers to prayer. And I pray that you would not just scratch the surface with asking God for stuff, but you would learn about your identity and your authority when you approach God in his presence and believe for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? I want to give you this statement this morning, and this is something you might like to write down. Anytime you speak with an awareness of the Holy Spirit, you are in prayer. Or I'll say it this way. Anytime you act or do anything, whether it's raking up the leaves in the yard, whether it's while you're at work, whether it's disciplining your kids, whether it's loving on your kids, whether it's talking to your wife, whatever it is, anytime you act with an awareness and a reverence for the presence of God, you are now walking in prayer. Who here believes and knows that God desires them to walk in prayer every day of their life? I do. Jesus was great because he explained to us it's not about long-winded prayers like some of the Pharisees do or the rabbis do, and they waffle on trying to look smart. Jesus teaches us simplicity in prayer. Jesus teaches us that our prayers don't have to be long and rhetorical, or they don't have to be sound intelligent or sound like you're speaking from the King James Version, "Thy God who art in heaven." No one says art in that way. It's just ridiculous, except Ben Patterson. But that's because he's an author and writes great books. So prayer can be sharp. Who knows, when Jesus prayed for people, he was sharp. He was effective. When he released healing, when he performed miracles, he didn't read a long script before he would pray for the sick. He would say, "Rise up and walk." It was sharp and powerful with his words, sharp and effective with his words. The words you speak, when in awareness of the presence of God, have the opportunity to be drenched in the anointing of the Holy Spirit and be sharp, powerful, and effective prayers. I want my prayers to be anointed. I want my words to be anointed. I want this today, this conversation with you and I today, to be a prayer unto God and to be anointed. I pray that as we preach and proclaim God's word, strongholds would break. Deliverance would happen in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirit. Something would change because I'm preaching and we're talking and you're receiving and you're hearing with an awareness of the presence of God. Amen? Amen. I believe this year for our church, God is calling us to rise up with powerful prayers. Pastor Rob said to me this week, "Cain, I believe we need to go deeper in prayer. God is moving, he's stirring in the midst of our church. God is doing something in our midst." Gosh, God was moving on that worship. I felt like I had a fresh revelation of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that nothing was impossible for us if we believe. There's something stirring in the midst, but the way we obtain what God is pouring out is by learning to pray sharp and powerful, effective prayers. The world is changed when Christians pray. The world is changed when Christians pray. You can look at historical figures that changed the world. I dare you to do your own study, your own little homework, and find out how many people changed the world that were actually Christians who prayed. How many inventors were Christians who prayed to God for an answer to a problem? How many politicians prayed for slavery to be abolished and for rights to be set out amongst nations and for order to be established, that were Christians that prayed to God for an answer and he brought a solution to a problem? Things happen when Christians pray. I want to give you this morning. When we pray, sometimes we don't pray because we feel like we have to call God down, or we have to, "God, please hear me," and we're trying to beckon God or get God's attention. But something I've learned is that we aren't calling God into prayer. God is calling us into prayer. When you feel the knock on your heart inside and you feel like, "Man, maybe I should pray about this," That's not you then, okay, God, come down and help me because I need your help, Lord. Please listen to my prayer. It's actually God knocking on the door of your heart saying, hey, my son, my daughter, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. God is calling us into prayer. I believe as a church this year, and I believe we're going to see God move in miraculous ways. We're going to see solutions to problems. We're going to hear testimonies of businesses that looked like they were about to crumble, but God brought a prophetic solution to a problem in need. Families that didn't know how to make ends meet, but God brought a prophetic solution to a problem that they couldn't attain on their own. It happens when Christians learn to pray sharp and effective prayers. You know, I used to pray weak prayers. Sometimes I still do, and the Holy Spirit corrects me. In fact, recently I was praying about this weather and I felt Holy Spirit rebuke me and say, that's not how you pray. That's not how I've taught you how to pray. You know, we want to go to a conference in Townsville tomorrow and there's a conference up there and it looks like currently that we won't be able to get there because the road to Townsville is blocked and that's okay. We'll figure something out and we're going to talk about it after service. But when I was praying for the rain and for our trip to Townsville, I was like, well, God, it'd be really awesome if we could go. And like, yeah, kind of like getting ready for church this morning. You know, God, it'd be just really awesome if we could make it to Townsville. And yeah, if it's possible, Lord, would you just clear the path? And I felt Holy Spirit say, hey, that's not how I've taught you to pray. And I'm like, oh, you're right, Holy Spirit. And I started to get an awareness of the presence and power of God that is within me. And I started to pray differently, to pray like Jesus prayed, to pray sharp and effectively. And I said, you know what? God, I thank you. In Jesus' name, I declare that flooding shall cease. We thank you for the gift of rain, God. I thank you for the gift that rain is to our land. But I declare flooding shall cease in Jesus' name, that the highways will clear up in the name of Jesus, that households would not be snowed under by water. They would not be drenched in water. I thank you, Lord, for protection and safety over our city and over Townsville in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We need to learn to pray sharp and effective prayers. I remember when I first heard about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, I realized that miracles aren't just for the people in the Bible, but they're for the people who believe today. Jesus said, anyone who believes, we have access to this. It says that we will walk, signs and wonders will follow us. And so I started to learn about this and start to pray for miracles to happen. I remember being 17 in our youth group at the time, and I'd see people with like maybe coming on crutches or maybe have issues with their body. And I remember, you know, the pastor would say, come on, let's pray for them. And we'd gather around and we'd pray for them. And I used to pray prayers like, God, oh Lord, if it's your will, God, Lord Jesus, oh Jesus, God, you said, if you forgot, I'm just reminding you what you said, God. And Lord, I prayed, if you want to, Lord, heal them. And if I... God, please just do it. And I'd start to beg God. Anyone found themselves begging God before? I started to beg God. I used to do it all the time. God, please, please, God, please. But I read in the scriptures, stories like the one in Acts where Peter and John, Jesus already ascended into heaven. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit, just like a lot of us have. And I hear stories of Peter and John at the temple gate. And there's a lame person laying there at the temple begging for money. Peter and John walk past them. What do they say to them? They turn to this man and they say, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. I think we're up to about 7-8 words right now. It's not a long prayer. Silver and gold I do not have, what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man rose up and walked. He rose up and walked. It was a short, sharp, and effective prayer. Acted upon in faith. They pulled the man up. They didn't just say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Let me know how you go next week. There was something happening attained by faith. They prayed in faith. They grasped a spiritual reality that was accessible to them to release healing upon this man by faith with a sharp an effective prayer. It changed the way I prayed for healings. Now today on the altars, when we pray for healing at our church, we've seen healings happen on the altar, even just over the last couple of weeks of last year. We saw healings happen on the altar. And it doesn't happen by begging God to do something. Because we can have a revelation of our identity and our authority, that it's not by our power that healings happen, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit who is within us, that we are forgiven and clothed in the righteousness of God, and His Holy Spirit will move through us. We can pray.